Getting in to see Gutman turned out to be easier than expected. They didn't bother with an introductory call requesting an appointment, because Toby knew very well Gutman wouldn't agree to one. Instead, he and Flynn went straight to Gutman's luxurious townhouse in one of the very best neighborhoods and got in by bribing the footman and wearing down the security guards with a long harangue on the necessity of a free press. Toby worked his way through the inner security levels and ranks of flag catchers with a grandstand performance of sheer perseverance and bloody-mindedness that Flynn found a joy to watch. This was the Toby Schreck he remembered, an unstoppable force of nature that talked its way around most obstacles and walked right over the rest. Leaving Gutman's people reeling and wondering what the hell had hit them, Toby and Flynn followed the head butler as he led the way to Gutman's inner sanctum. The butler, a tall and haughty personage in an old-fashioned frock coat with frosty manners and just a little understated makeup, who winked at Flynn when he thought Toby wasn't looking, finally came to a halt before a massive pair of intricately carved wooden doors. After knocking, he threw the doors open with practiced flair.
Toby Schreck and a Mr. Flynn, sir.
Toby strode straight in, with Flynn right behind him, camera hovering over his shoulder. The butler sighed quietly and took up a position just inside the doors in case he might be needed. Gutman's quarters were surprisingly tasteful, but all that meant was that he could afford a decent interior designer. There were shelves of books along one wall, expensive leather-bound editions, but Toby would have bet good money. Gutman hadn't read any of them. Probably bought them by the yard. Gutman himself was reclining at his ease in a technological marvel of a chair that did everything but wipe his nose for him. He didn't bother to get up when his visitors entered, so Toby didn't bother with the bow and polite greetings that formality would otherwise have demanded.
Get rid of the flunky, Gutman. You aren't going to want a witness for some of the things we're going to discuss.
Ah, the famous Schreck charm. That must be how you got past my guards, most of whom will be drawing unemployment tomorrow. It's all right, Job, you can go. I'll ring if I need anything.
The butler bowed, gave Flynn a last lingering look, and left. Toby fixed Gutman with his best piercing gaze.
So, Elias, how are the hemorrhoids?
Compared to your presence, nothing at all. You're the only real pain in my ass these days. What do you want at this late hour?
What I always want. Answers. Answers to a few questions that my reporters never got to put to you. Starting with how a slimy wheeler dealer like you ended up as a revered elder statesman.
Through my many and varied business enterprises, over the years I have amassed a number of influential contacts in all walks of life. I did business with Lionstone's empire and helped fund the rebellion. I have never believed in keeping all my eggs in one basket.
You've never believed in declaring him for taxes either. Come on, Elias. Everyone knows that you had a hand in every dirty deal going, from drugs to gun running to clone legging. Your reputation was marginally worse than the Hayden men's. How did you end up as Speaker?
Much to my surprise. I came home to rebuild my family, which had been so weakened during the war they were even glad to see me back. And as a man of means and prospects, I found position and responsibility pressed upon me.
Just like that?
Pretty much. I hate to disappoint you, Toby, but I was elected Speaker because the majority wanted it. No backroom deals, no bribes, no blackmail. No secret promises of favor or influence. I got the job because everyone knew me and distrusted me equally. I was possibly the one person with all the right contacts who didn't have his own agenda. And if they were dumb enough to offer me the post, I was certainly dumb enough to take it.
You're living very well. The big house, in the best part of town, an army of servants and all the luxuries. And if that obscene portrait on a wall is what I think it is, it alone costs more than your yearly salary as Speaker. Where's the money coming from these days, Elias?
Oh, I never knew you had an eye for art, Toby. And yes, it is an original. Erotica is very collectible these days. I acquired it as payment for an outstanding debt. My money comes from investments, all of them open and above board. My finances are now a matter of public record. I'm squeaky clean, I can afford to be. It was a good war for me in many ways.
If you're so clean, why did you settle for Speaker? You could have been a Member of Parliament. Hell, you could have been Prime Minister.
I prefer to be the man who chooses the Prime Minister. the power behind the throne, so to speak.
But just what are your politics these days, Elias? Where do you stand? What are you after? You seem terribly chummy with just about everyone, including all the extreme fringe groups that no one else would touch with a barge pole. There isn't a political gathering of whatever persuasion that doesn't have you on its guest list. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that supposed to be a secret? I've studied the footage from my freelance cameraman, the stuff that doesn't always get on the screen, and it's amazing how often you crop up. No matter how extreme the cause, or how distasteful, or even how opposed, there you are, right in the middle of things, smiling, impressing the flesh, and making friends. Everybody's buddy. Care to comment on that?
You're on dangerous ground, Shrek. Back off.
If it's all so innocent, why don't you want to talk about it? You just said you're squeaky clean these days. Why is everyone always so glad to see you, Elias? What are you offering them in those privately convened meetings that no one else gets to see?
I think it's time you were leaving. I have nothing more to say. And don't think you can use any footage of this conversation. I have hidden security devices that jam more recording equipment.
That's what you think. I've made modifications.
Gutman glared at Flynn, and then at Toby.
I could have my people destroy that camera.
No, you couldn't. It would cause too many awkward questions. Unlike you, people believe what I tell them.
I'll speak to your bosses, and then they'll tell you what to say.
I am the boss.
One of my investments is in communications. I own 40% of Imperial News.
Do you think that'll stop me? There are always other companies. I'm red hot these days. Everyone wants me. Time we were going, Flynn. Don't bother with a flunky, Elias. We'll find our own way out.
They left in something of a hurry, just in case Gutman decided he didn't care about his public image just this once and set the dogs on them. Out in the street again, in the cool air of the evening, Toby and Flynn looked at each other thoughtfully.
Well, that was interesting.
Toby rubbed his hands together.
Yeah, I told you there was a story here. Just wish I knew what the hell it was. We're going to have to do some more digging in records and archives. See if we can find more footage on exactly who Elias has been cozying up to just recently that he doesn't want us to know about. Might be interesting to see if there's anyone he isn't talking to. That might tell us something as well. Strange, though. I was expecting him to put up more of a fight. Elias used to enjoy these little confrontations, playing games with words and defying me to get to the truth. I thought he folded rather quickly this time. And the threats were so obvious. He used to be more subtle than that.
Toby gave Flynn a sharp look.
Were you bluffing about your camera? Did we have any of that conversation recorded?
It depends. I upgrade my camera regularly, but the main players make a point of always having state-of-the-art security. I won't know for sure what I've got till I get back to the lab.
Well, that will have to wait. We have another visit to make. A family affair this time. My dear Aunt Grace, currently the head of my clan, in the detested Gregor's absence, she's been running the family and making a very good job of it by all accounts. Which is interesting, because the Grace I've known for most of my life wouldn't say boo to a goose if it was crapping on her foot. A shy, retiring creature, Aunt Grace, immersed in a remembered past when things were simpler. But of late, dear Grace has emerged into the limelight with a vengeance, becoming a major social figure. Something's finally kicked her awake, and I want to know what.
But isn't this change a good thing? Aren't you pleased she's coming out of her shell?
She's still a Shrek, and we never do anything without at least one ulterior motive.
Oh, yeah. And what's yours for this visit?
My cousin Clarissa. She's been staying with Grace ever since the Deathstalker freed her from her servitude as one of Lionstone's maids. A pretty young thing, very sweet. I thought I might see how she was getting on.
You old softy. Wait a minute. I thought she was your sister.
Half-sister and cousin. It's that kind of family.
It wasn't far to Grace Shrek's townhouse. She lived in the same salubrious area as Gutman. Private security systems monitored the streets, keeping an electronic eye on anyone who looked as though they didn't belong there. Flynn on his own would have been stopped immediately and politely but firmly interrogated, but everybody knew Toby Shrek. The Shrek townhouse had been in the family for generations, and looked it. The old stone walls were spotted and discolored with age and pollution, and the once impeccable gardens had been left to run wild. Long-established mats of ivy crawled across the frontispiece of the house, left alone out of a sense of tradition. The windows were one way only, showing blank, uncaring eyes to the outside world. And Toby knew for a fact that there were hidden guns all over to discourage unwanted visitors. This was a Shrek establishment, after all. Once the house had been home and sanctuary to the majority of the Shrek, but with the building of the Pastel Towers, it had declined into just a townhouse, somewhere to stay for short periods for those of the family who were currently out of favor. Grace had been there a long time, and now the great four-winged mansion was home to her alone, plus a small horde of servants. Grace was a great believer in keeping up appearances.
Most of the rooms are left empty now.
Toby and Flynn waited more or less patiently outside the main drawing room. The butler had just gone in to announce them, and was apparently taking his time. Toby wouldn't have thought there was that much to announce, but he couldn't just barge in, as he had with Gutman. This was family.
Bit of a waste, really. Given its location, we could sell this place for a tidy sum. But Grace won't give it up while she's alive. It's her home.
And very impressive it is, too. If I'd known we were coming somewhere this posh, I'd have nipped home to change into my best frock and real diamonds. A girl likes to look her best.
Don't even mention that in front of Grace. She's a bit old-fashioned and easily shocked. If we're going to get anything out of her, I need her to be relaxed and at her ease.
Well, that's a bit cold-blooded, isn't it? I mean, she's your aunt.
But we're both Shreks. Don't let your guard down in there, Flynn. She could tear you apart if the mood took her.
The butler, in formal frock coat and powdered wig, returned at last to usher them into the main drawing room. It was big enough to land a ship's pinnace in, and crowded with antique furniture and priceless works of art, of the kind normally only seen in museums. There were statues of all sizes, tables and chairs from widely differing periods, a grand piano that looked as though it had seen a lot of use, and an indoor fountain splashing merrily away that should have been impressive, but it reminded Toby he hadn't visited the toilet in quite a while. Huge family portraits covered the walls, depicting generations of Shreks in a variety of styles, with the same frowning faces and identical cold eyes. It made Gutman's place look positively rustic.
Whoa, how the other 1% lives. I never knew you and your family were this rich, boss.
We're not. This house is a reminder of the time when we used to be. There are individual pieces here that could pay off the family's debts for a decade, but Grace won't part with any of them. As long as she can surround herself with all this stuff, she can convince herself that Clan Shrek is still what it used to be, and that nothing has really changed. Gregor's been trying to bully Grace into selling up for ages, and it's a tribute to Grace's iron willpower that even his concentrated venom can't shift her.
Still, I bet this room is hell to dust. They must work in shifts.
Finally, they were brought into the presence of Grace Shrek, and Toby and Flynn both bowed formally. Grace inclined her head regally from the depths of a huge, very comfortable-looking chair set just the right distance away from the roaring fire and the great fireplace. The butler gestured to two hovering servants, also in frock coats and powdered wigs, who hurried forward bearing two antique chairs and set them down at just the right distance from Grace, so that Toby and Flynn could sit facing her. They settled themselves carefully onto the delicate-looking chairs, which proved to be even more uncomfortable than they looked. Grace smiled at them both, and then, without looking around, gestured to the butler. He and the two servants left the room, backing out all the way. Grace waited till the door had closed behind them.
Oh, servants. It's so hard to get called help these days. You have to be ever so careful what you say in front of them. In my young days, a family servant would never have dreamed of repeating a confidence, or anything they might have heard of their master's business. But no one has any sense of loyalty anymore. They're always looking for some gossip they can peddle to the scandal shows. Never mind whether it's true or not. As long as it makes a good story, that's their attitude. I do hope that camera of yours is not operating, young man. I take my privacy very seriously.
We won't record anything without your permission, Auntie.
You only call me Auntie when you want something, Tobias. What is it this time? Another loan?
Not this time, Auntie, thank you very much. I just happened to be visiting another house in this area, and I thought I might as well drop in and see how you were doing. You and Clarissa.
Oh, so that's where the wind lies, is it? Thought I saw a sparkle in your eye for her the last time you deigned to pay me a visit. She's doing very well, Tobias, recovering from her ordeal. What the poor thing endured would have broken a lesser soul, but of course Clarissa has good old Shrek iron in her bones. She'll pull through. I'll send for her in a while. Now, nephew, you may kiss me on the cheek and come to the real purpose of your visit. You can't fool me, Tobias. You didn't come calling at this late hour of the evening just to inquire over my health and make eyes at Clarissa.
Toby grinned, got out of his chair to kiss Grace chastely on her powdered cheek, and then sat down again.
You always see through me, Auntie. I need your help for a piece I'm working on, about how the families are rebuilding themselves after the new order. And I can't not mention my own family, can I? They call it bias. And it must be said, you've made a great deal of difference to the clan's standing since you took control.
It's not as if I had any choice in the matter. There was only me. Gregor has been going mad for years, but as long as he maintained the family prestige, no one would hear a word said against him. But when he finally fell apart and barricaded himself inside the tower, it was clear someone had to replace him as head before the whole clan fell apart. You weren't interested, and all the other senior members of the family were too busy plotting against each other. So the burden fell to me, the only senior Shrek that everyone else could accept. It hasn't been easy, but I like to think I've made a difference.
You certainly have, Auntie. Under you, the Shreks have moved back into the political mainstream in a big way. I wasn't aware you knew so much about current politics.
I do have a view screen, young man, and I have been known to watch something other than those dreadful never-ending soaps. And I have advisors, lots of them. Everybody has these days.